It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.
It's official. On Monday, the Democratic National Committee chose Milwaukee as the site of its 2020 convention. Houston and Miami were the other contenders, and according to DNC Chair Tom Perez, this is the first time the Democratic Party has held a national convention in the Midwest outside of Chicago since 1916.
Milwaukee's success in winning the host bid is due in large part to the efforts of members of the bid committee, which included Mayor Tom Barrett, Governor Tony Evers, Congresswoman Gwen Moore, and our next guest, Milwaukee Bucks Senior Vice President and Bid Chair, Alex Lazary. Alex, it's a pleasure to have you on Lake Effect. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
You have been working on this for a long time. So why was it so important to you to get the convention here?
Well, you know, besides my my Democratic leanings, for me, the most important thing about this was trying to put Milwaukee on the map in a way that it hadn't been before. You know, some of that thought process came from watching the Amazon HQ2 process play out. And whether you think Amazon should have come here or anything like that, to me, was irrelevant. It was more about the fact that we weren't even in the conversation. That, to me, is a problem because Milwaukee is this great city, and it is a vibrant city, and it's a growing city. And I want people to see Milwaukee and love Milwaukee in the same way that I do. And so when Milwaukee wasn't even in the conversation, you never even saw the star in the map with Milwaukee on it, I thought that it was mostly just because people didn't know much about Milwaukee. And, you know, you then see these articles coming out about Milwaukee being this best-kept secret. And so I think what I wanted to do was out Milwaukee and bring Milwaukee to the national attention and start making sure that people realize that we're a city that should, you know, be considered the next Austin or the next Denver, and be in, you know, that tier of cities with the Miamis and Houstons of the world.
What were the challenges you found when you tried to do that, when you started working on this bid? How long ago? 18 months ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the biggest challenges are getting people over the preconceived notions about what Milwaukee can handle and what it can do, and trying to get people on board with something, I think, this ambitious and this big. It's a lot, and it's a lot to handle, and it's not something that we've typically gone after. But the biggest problem wasn't locally. It was nationally. It was getting the people around the country, and especially at the DNC, to understand and realize that Milwaukee isn't this small Rust Belt city, that we are a growing, vibrant 21st century city that can handle something like this. And if the DNC or any political convention wants to be able to do something outside of five cities, you need to start taking cities like Milwaukee more seriously. And getting people over that hump and over those preconceived notions that we can't raise money, that we don't have enough hotels, that we don't have the venue spaces, was a lot more challenging than I thought. But clearly, we were able to get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think turned the tide? Was it FISERV?
FISERV definitely had a lot to do with it. I think what turned the tide was our site visit. You know, we were able to run a really flawless and execute, I think, one of the strongest site visits that has happened. And we were able to show Milwaukee at its best and show that we were also a team that could handle something of this magnitude. And, you know, FISERV Forum as like the crown jewel of the pitch certainly helped. I mean, it was the second day that the arena had been opened, so you still had that new car smell on it. But also being able to show the convention center and the venues, you know, Miller High Life Theater and Panther Arena as other possible venues, being able to show all the land around FISERV Forum and what type of flexibility and ability to reimagine what a convention could look like, showing them actually the hotel rooms and being like, hey, when we say 20 minutes away, we mean 20 minutes away. And I've lived in East Coast cities before. When we say 10 minutes away, it's 30 minutes. And that's not here. When we say 20, it's 20. And so I think that was something that they had to realize. I think the other thing was seeing the depth and breadth of the support from the community. We did an event at Northwestern Mutual where we had over 200 business leaders and community leaders show up and talk to DNC members and say how important this would be to the city and how much it would mean to them to come here. And I think when you show them all of that, it, I think, took us from a fringe finalist as like, hey, we need to put Milwaukee in the finalist, and turned us into, I think, an actual contender and the eventual winner.
Well, we're looking at NFC numbers ranging from $200 to $300 million dollars in economic impact from the convention and its ancillary and related events. How much of that do you feel is going to come back directly into the community?
I think almost all of it, and probably all of it. You know, what you end up seeing is this is not going to be something that's just going to benefit the hotels and restaurants. This is something that's going to benefit the entire city. We're going to need 12,000 volunteers. We're going to need a ton of small businesses from Milwaukee to put on not just the events that happen in the arena. You know, that's the main event, what goes on in there. But there are 1,500 events that are going to happen all across the city in venues all across the city and maybe even probably a little bit outside the city. So we're going to need businesses to help put those on. We need catering, AV, you know, different vendors, transportation. You name it, we need a business like that to put on this entire convention. And our hope is that the vendors that are doing this are going to be people that look like Milwaukee and that are Milwaukee. And we want this convention to be stamped made in Wisconsin. And so, you know, I think all of the money and economic impact that is going to happen is going to reverberate not just in downtown, but across the whole city. And that's just the immediate impact. That doesn't even take into consideration the future business and exposure that you get from hosting something like this. I mean, this is something that will reverberate for 5 to 10 years. And a perfect example of that is Denver. Denver wasn't what we think of Denver now when it hosted before, until it hosted the convention in 2008. And that's not to say that by hosting this convention, we're automatically going to take that leap, but it's that first step. And it's what will set the tone for what we do after that. And we need to make sure that we don't let this opportunity go by, because it'll be great to host the convention, but then what are we doing in year 2, 3, and 4? How are we capitalizing on this moment that we have? And we need to make sure that we're staying just as ambitious and dreaming just as big post-convention that we were in this 2 years leading up to it.
You talked about having it look like Milwaukee. And of course, one of the things about Milwaukee is that it is one of the most segregated cities in America. I know the DNC will probably be talking about that politically, but economically, are you hoping to award contracts to minority-owned and women-owned businesses to help shape that view of who we are?
That is a top priority of the host committee and the DNC. You know, this was something that I've done with Fiserv Forum, where we made sure that we had a goal of 25% of services being awarded to minority owned businesses. And we ended up doing over 30%. And we want to make sure that we're exceeding those goals for the convention. And I think we will. You know, Martha Love and Jason Ray have been leading our efforts on that, where they did about 5 town halls and events around the city, where they asked people to go to Milwaukee2020.com and register your business with the host committee. So that will allow us to know when people are trying to book events at different venues, which vendors we can send them to. And so we are going to make sure that we put an emphasis on minority-owned, women-owned, LGBTQ, veterans, disabled businesses, so that, again, everyone is benefiting. This convention is only going to be successful if everyone benefits. And, you know, again, we need to make sure this isn't the silver bullet for everything. You know, just similar with the arena, that's not going to be the silver bullet to solve some of the issues that Milwaukee has. And I think it's important that we talk about them. But I think what this will do is be the jumping off point for Milwaukee taking that next step and growing into a top tier city.
You talked a little bit earlier about the logistics, you know, needing hotel rooms and getting people to and from places. We have a very definite timeline now. It's about 18 months away before this happens. What kinds of things is the committee doing right now to start making sure all of that runs smoothly in July next year?
So, you know, I look at these next 3 to 4 months as the planning stages. So this is where we really start to dive into what this behemoth looks like and what we need to do. And that's going to be working in concert with the DNC, who has done this 100 times or something like that. And so looking at how they do that, making sure that they understand what it's like on the ground here, because we have the local expertise, and working with them on making sure that transportation is not an issue. Because, yes, some of our hotels are a little bit, you know, further outside the city, and we need to make sure that we have good bus checkpoints, that we have good pickup and drop-offs, and that all the information is easy and clear and readily available. And so those are all things that, you know, we'll be working on, thinking about those things over the next 3 to 4 months, and then implementing them over, you know, probably the 10 to 12 months after that. But the most immediate step right now is trying to, you know, get as many people signed up, again, on Milwaukee2020.com as volunteers. And we're going to need 12,000. And that's a significant amount of people that we need involved in participating. And so it's going to take a big effort from, you know, not just the business community, but from the local community as well, because 12,000 volunteers is nothing to sneeze at. But
just coordinating that number of people.
Yep. Just coordinating that many people and all the delegates that are going to be coming in, because you've got 12,000 volunteers and then 50,000 people who are descending upon the city. And so it's a lot. And I don't know if everyone quite realizes what this is yet, but what I think is exciting is the possibilities of how much the community can participate in something like this. And so I think, you know, the possibilities are really endless.
Well, I think some people do realize, because, you know, the inevitable complaining on social media has started probably from the minute the announcement was made.
On social media?
I know. Nobody complains there. But I'm already hearing, well, where am I going to park? How am I going to get to work? You know, I think I'm going to leave town. How do you work to get the doubters on board, because you're going to have some?
Yeah, and I think it's just about being open, honest, and transparent. I think you have to discuss what this is going to be. And that's going to be doing as many community events as we can. You know, I want to get around and speak to as many groups and as many people as possible to be honest about what this is. I can honestly say this is going to be, to locals, there's a chance that this is an inconvenience to some people. And not a chance. This will be an inconvenience to some people. But that's sometimes the price we have to pay for something this big and for something this important. It's no different than if we get an NBA Finals. Traffic becomes a little bit more intense. Security becomes a little bit more intense. But you deal with that inconvenience because it's something that's important and that's big and that will lead to future growth and future opportunities. So I think as long as you're honest and transparent about what some of the inconveniences will be, and let people plan around that and say, hey, if this is going to be too much for you, then let's figure something out. If, you know, you're worried about, you know, parking or getting to your job, okay, we need to then work on that and figure out how can we make this work for everyone, not just the delegates and the 50,000 people who are coming in, but also for the people who live in the city. And you know, I think a great way to do that is volunteering and being a part of the action. If you've got a small business, making sure that you're registered so that we can make sure that you're benefiting financially from it. But then otherwise, it's just trying to work with everyone to say, okay, what can we do? And then being honest about, like, hey, this is something we can't do. It's going to suck for 3 days, and then everything's going to be better.
The Wisconsin GOP has made their disdain for Milwaukee very, very clear. Are you worried about that at all, that there will be blowback from the GOP that will somehow put a damper on what happens here next year?
No, I don't think so. What I've been pleasantly surprised about is the bipartisan support for this convention. You know, former Governor Walker signaled his support not only yesterday, but also when he was governor, about how big he thinks this is for the city. You're seeing business leaders who are Republican who are also saying how important this is. The money coming in here is green. It's not red or blue. At any convention, are you going to have political convention? Are you going to probably have members of the other party, you know, doing some sort of protest or something like that? Sure, but I think that's, you know, that's priced into bringing a convention to the city. And that's also part of being a swing state. That's just something that's going to happen. But from terms of support, you know, I haven't really spoken to many people who have said that this isn't something that they think is big. You know, when I see my Facebook and I've got friends who are Democrats and Republicans, a lot of what I see is, regardless of your political affiliation, this is something that's big for the city and the state. And I think that's what's important. This convention, it's bigger than politics. For the city and state, this is about reintroducing ourselves to the international stage and how do we take advantage of that moment.
Are you worried at all that we can't live up to that as a community?
No, because I think we already are living up to it. Now it's just about everyone seeing that. And it's about everyone witnessing it and feeling it. You know, one of the reasons that I feel so confident about this is just the last 3 or 4 years, whenever I have friends from the East Coast or West Coast come to visit, they immediately want to come back. And I think that says something about what this city does to people and the hold that it can grab on people. It's fun. You know, these conventions are, you know, at the end of the day, they're one big party and, you know, no one throws a party like Milwaukee. And I think that's what makes this city special, is that when people come here, they don't want to leave. And if they, you know, have to go back, they want to come back. So I'm not worried that Milwaukee can't live up to it, because as long as we're being who we are, we're already living that every day. It's now just about time that the world sees it and starts to participate in it.
Alex Lazary is the Milwaukee Bucks Senior Vice President and is the bid chair for the committee that secured the 2020 DNC convention for the city. There's more information about the convention and how to register your business or volunteer at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.